Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? It's your girl, Juicy Renee, and it's Friday, February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. And I'm just happy to be back with you guys because I missed you last week. It's been a crazy life for me. I'm just going to be honest. I've been overwhelmed. I've been getting things thrown at me from every obstacle in life, but I am a soldier. I am still standing strong. My head is held high, and I'm still smiling, and I'm still giving God the glory. So it's so good to be back with you guys. Happy Friday. I want to get started. Well, you guys know it's February. We all know what the month of February is, right? Black History Month. You know, we got to keep in contact with our history. We have to get more knowledgeable of, you know, our history, our ancestors. A lot of us don't even know who or where we come from. So we got to get that under wraps. And I love the month of February, aside the fact that it's my daughter's birthday in February and my mom's birthday, two of my favorite ladies in my life. It's also Black History Month. So today I want to have a Black History moment where I'm going to be talking about Mr. Langston Hughes. Langston Hughes, a literary giant and legendary poet, was born on February 1st, 1902, which would have made him 113 this past Sunday. He was born in Joplin, Missouri, and raised by his grandmother in Lawrence, Kansas. Hughes' paternal grandfathers were slave owners. His maternal grandmother was of mixed race, and one of the first women to attend Oberlin College. His mother was born to a mixed-race abolitionist father. Hughes' father fled to Mexico shortly after he was born and left his mother because he was tired of racism he had to deal with in the U.S. While his mother worked odd jobs, Hughes stayed with his grandmother. After his grandmother died, he joined his mother, and they settled in Cleveland. Hughes' high school teacher introduced him to poetry, and it inspired him to do more reading and writing. While living with his father in Mexico after graduating high school in 1920, Hughes' poem, The Negro Speaks of Rivers, was published nationally. Hughes then enrolled at Columbia University in New York, but dropped out after he became involved in the Harlem Renaissance. In 1924, he lived in Paris for a short time. Then shortly after, Hughes met poet Michelle Lindsay, who helped promote Hughes' work. The exposure helped Hughes, and he won first prize in a literary competition and a scholarship to Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. After graduating in 1929, he published his first novel, Not Without Laughter. The book did well enough to convince Hughes that he could make a living as a writer. Hughes also worked as a war correspondent during the Spanish Civil War. In 1940, Hughes released the first pair of autobiographies titled The Big C while contributing to the Chicago Defender. Hughes used his platform there to speak to the social ills Black people face, something that defined much of his career. Hughes' work was loose and colorful, inspired by Black vernacular. Hughes wrote more than a dozen poetry collections, over 10 novels, 7 nonfiction titles, and a dozen plays. He died May 22, 1967, and he was only 65 years old. And that was your Black History highlight moment. for today. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with your Ask Juicy segment, and it's going to be very interesting. So make sure you stay tuned.
When you see them Confederate flags, you know what it is. Your folks be Cotton Hill, why we call it the field. I got a Chevrolet on 26. I'm from GA.
Hello.
Georgia.
I am back, you guys. I want to get into the Ask Juicy. Are we going to the Ask Juicy segment? Yes, this is, it's time for the Black. I mean, what is wrong with me today? I cannot talk. I can't read my handwriting. I can't talk. Lord God, give me strength, Jesus. See, this is what happens when you mix up your mix-up of your show. Because I usually start off with my inspirational words. But I thought I would leave that for the end of the show today. Because I have so much juicy things to get into. So let me start over. Now it's time for the Ask Juicy segment. And today we're going to discuss how to step your dating game up. Ladies, I know you need help in this area. So I'm going to do my best to help you. All right, I want to start off with saying stop chasing your idea of what love should be and recognize what love really is. Love isn't promising to act right after he acts up. Love is him acting right from the start so he won't mess it up. Love isn't telling a grown man he needs to change to keep you. Love is a grown man changing on his own because he can't imagine life without you. Healthy relationships don't need constant CPR. There will be obstacles to overcome in every relationship, but you fight for those that fight for you. You don't hold on for the sake of chemistry or compatible horoscopes. And don't get me wrong, because I go by horoscopes. I'm a horoscope Nazi. I love reading about the horoscopes. I know a lot about the horoscopes, especially Sagittarius, because, yep, you guessed it, I'm a Sag. And I know a lot about Leos, too, because they're my love match, my strongest love match. Not my only one, but my strongest one. So don't get me wrong. I love the horoscopes, and, you know, a lot about what they say about us is true, but we can't solely go by that. Sacrifice your dignity, your prime, and your self-respect in order to hold on to a man you falsely label as a limited edition will be a waste of your life. Start taking control of your destiny by loving those that give you a reason to love them and cutting off those that no longer complete you. Demand to be shown love, demand to be shown respect, and no matter how long it takes to find that special someone, make sure they pass the test. And I'll get to what the test is. Have faith in your value as a woman, not in your promise of a magical predetermined relationships. Please. Okay. As a woman, we always want love. That's what we want. We want love. We want real love. We want to be nurtured. We want to be appreciated. We want commitment. We want to be loyal to someone who's loyal to us in return. And to deny that part of your DNA so you can try to keep a man that is still playing the field in your life is idiotic and demeaning. Okay, you don't want to deny yourself of something that you deserve. That's what you call a situationship. And for all of you that don't know what that is, a situationship is a relationship without a label where two people are often just platonic friends or more than platonic friends but haven't committed to being anything official for various reasons. Okay. I really want you to really start valuing who you are, because when you do, men have no choice but to value you and respect you, whether they pursue you or not, because of the bar that you set, the standard that you set for yourself. They have no choice but to respect that, because you're not going to give them the option of messing around with your feelings and your love, okay? So please think about that when you are beginning to date. I'm going to play Suitcase by Mary J. Blige really quickly. And when I come back, I'm going to get back into this dating situation, shit, slash messiness with you women, okay? I'll be right back. Letter on the nightstand, baby. Yeah. I like Mary J. Blige. That's off her new album. I have to forget the name of it. That's a shame, huh? But that's called Suitcase. And I be blasting that every morning before I go to work. It gives me the motivation to move on from a no good nigga. Okay? Yes. Now, back to the Ask Juicy segment. We're talking about dating. I'm trying to give you ladies a little bit of help there. In the dating game, because I know the struggle. Trust me, I'm single. I'm dating right now, and it is a struggle, man. And I had to, like, really research and educate myself on how to go about dating, especially because I got two daughters. You know, I'm leery about introducing them to the guy in my life. Or, you know, I don't know. You know, it's just a lot of things you got to consider when you're dating somebody. So I want to proclaim that all single women should date multiple men. I ain't say screw 'em. I ain't say suck 'em. I not even kiss 'em. I ain't saying that. Just date. Do things outside of your house to see if there's anything more than just sexual chemistry and jokes. Okay. With different men, not just one when you're single. I'm talking about when you're single now. I ain't saying be a hoe bag. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you to date when you're in a relationship. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you're single, okay, keep the cookies in the jar, please. Be loyal. I'm not telling you to cheat on Johnny Boy, okay? No. If you're tired of John, you can leave him a dear John letter and move on from John and go on with Steve and them. You know what I'm saying? I'm proclaiming that us as women, us as single women, we need to date more than one, just one guy, okay? However, in a man's mind, you should delete every contact with the penis the moment he asks you your name. And that's the male's ego. That's not real logic. The most vocal argument about women dating multiple men, believe it or not, actually comes from us women. And the counter is that it's unnatural for women to split their attention. As a woman, it's better to invest your time and energy in showing that one man that you just met that you are worthy of a commitment. Okay? We feel there's no need to give our number out anymore or entertain other men because we have that feeling that this one man could be the last man we ever have to date. But forget that feeling, man. I mean, has he committed or to you? Has he communicated that he feels the same way about you? Has he committed to you yet or no? If you can't call him your boyfriend, then you're still single. Dating only one man says, I'm waiting on you to validate me because I can't find any man who's better. ask yourself this question, ladies. Is he that great or are you that desperate? We got to start after evaluating ourselves when it comes to dating. How many of you guys are the red coral girl? I bet y'all like, what in the world is a red coral girl? A red coral girl is a female who sweats a dude that shows her no genuine interest. So I know that probably rung a bell. So how many of you are red coral girls? Don't lie. Right now, one of you ladies listening to the juice is stressing over one dude that wouldn't even pick up his phone if you were to call him right now. Right or wrong, okay? I'm not saying he doesn't like you, but he doesn't like you as much as you like him, and that's a problem. We need to find someone who's interested in us as much as we are interested in them, if not more. I don't think there's anything wrong with someone being more interested in you than you are in them, ladies. Because, you know, we are the prize. When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Come on. Okay? For real. All right? Okay? Don't give him the bae title if he's not, you know, qualified to be bae. All right? Come on now. That is why I have to begin to agree with dating multiple men when you're single, because the biggest problem I see across the board is that women overlike men that don't feel the same way about them. See, a man can like a girl a lot, but they still continue to live their life as if she doesn't exist. Sure, they may think about us women throughout their day, you know, but it's not going to stop them from hitting on other women or hanging out with their boys to the point where they forget to even call us. It's not that women crush harder than men. It's that women don't multitask when it comes to romance. We don't like to multitask when it comes to romance. Women, for the most part, would stop their world to include a new nigga who hasn't even opened up his, who hasn't even earned his way in yet. Yet, we're giving them our all. We got to stop doing that. Okay? For real. I don't know why being single is a disease to us. Okay? And it's like when we meet a new guy, it's like he's the cure to that single disease that we have. But being single is not a disease. It's a blessing in a way because it allows you to get to know who you are and it allows you to, you know, get your feet wet and network and get to know who could be the right guy for you. Think about that when you're dating. It's better to date more men also because you don't give so much energy to just one person. The more power you give a man, the harder it is to date him in a way where you set the rules in terms of treatment. I'll repeat that. The more power you give a man, the harder it is to date him in a way where you set the rules in terms of treatment. Remind yourself that he could be special, but for now he's just an interesting man. But it's hard to stick with that thought when you're only dating one. But when you have four other men who are just as cute as homie that you're dating, trying to get with you, you don't have time to obsess over just that one guy. Because there are so many other guys starting to do things that the guy that you're putting your all in isn't. The same way you got one number, you can get another, honey. The same way you got that number, you can get another. Please don't ever sell yourself short. Because if you think about it, you know, think about all the relationships that didn't work out, all the guys that never made it to be your man or that didn't give you a title, you didn't give him a title, you didn't make it that far, but you've given him your all. And you put all your eggs in one basket. That's never a good look. Stop doing that, okay? And that's the end of the Ask Juicy segment. When I come back, I'm going to play a quick song, and it's going to be time for the Reality Rewind.
Yeah.
And, honey, when I said honey, it's going to be something else. Do you hear me? Something else. Trust me.
Taking out.
could have a $250,000 on me right now. Hard to make a song about something other than the money. Things I'm about to talk and blunt and saying blunt. Pretty women, are you here? Are you here right now, huh? We should all disappear right now. Look, you're getting all your friends and you're getting in the car and you're coming to the house. Like, clear right now, huh?
That was Truffle Butter. That must have been the sped up version. I didn't like that version, Marita. I don't like that. They going extra fast. All right, right now I got to get into the reality rewind. I'm going to start off with Empire. When Cookie opened up her fur coat and showed off her lingerie, stop. I got my entire life, honey. My entire life. Yes. Round of applause for you, Cookie. And when she ever turned around and said, Anika, this is an ass, honey, and lifted up her fur, girl, bye. I almost died and came back to life. Hang with me, okay? All right? Let me tell you something. Cookie is one of my favorite people. I just love her. I can't get enough of her. Honey, I'm telling you, I died and I came back to life. Lucius admitted to killing Bunky for Vernon. Okay. Vernon's been dealing with, I don't know, is that the FBI that Vernon been talking to? This white guy that Vernon was talking to, been talking to. I don't even know if Vernon could be trusted anymore. I think Jamal and Michael are on their way out to quit the deal because I think Jamal is starting to, you know, he's starting to let the fame get to him. I must say, though, he is talented. Every song that guy comes out with, I love. And since Lucius has been under the microscope because he is a suspect in Monkey's murder, he hired a new head of security by the name of Malcolm DeVoe. And he is fine, honey. Yes, round of applause for Malcolm DeVoe. Malcolm is fine, baby. I think Cookie like him, too. Yeah, I think Cookie like him. And Alika has lost her damn mind trying to get Cookie's assistant, Portia, to cross over to the dark side. Okay, no, honey. And Raven Simone, oh my goodness, who plays Olivia, comes in at the end of the last show of Empire, claiming to have a son with Jamal named Logan. Okay, that's going to be interesting. I can't wait till next week's episode because Lucius ends up in the hospital messing around with that experimental drug for his ALS. Hopefully we find out if Jamal's really that little girl's father. Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't a son. I said a son, Logan. It was a little girl named Logan. And also, Lucius and Cookie seem to be rekindling that old flame, okay? Now, on to scandal. Olivia's been kidnapped, and she's being auctioned off to the highest bidder. Meanwhile, she's waiting on Huck, Jake, and Quinn, and the rest of the gladiators to save her. Okay, she's been trying to convince the people that's holding her hostage, you know, to let her go and to take sides with her and commemorate with her, but that ain't work. They ended up shutting down the auction, and somebody came to buy her. And I don't know, it looked like a woman that came and won the auction. I don't know who it was. But Libby's mother is helping them track Olivia down, and I believe rocking with her is going to help them get Libby back. I'm not sure, but I really would like to know who was that was picking up Olivia. Because it looked like a woman, okay? And it was life-changing when Fitz and Millie had that conversation about what they both wanted. He wanted Olivia back, and she wanted to be president. So next week, I can't wait to see who finally bought Olivia. Now on to the haves and the have-nots. We finally found out that Amanda's dead, and it's being ruled as a homicide and not a suicide like we all assumed. So I'm interested to find out who in the world shot her. But if you remember, I said it a couple of weeks ago that it could have been Quincy or somebody hiding in that room that killed Amanda. So next week we'll find out about that. And now on to how to get away with murder. Sam was found, and Nate was convicted of the murder of Sam after he was set up, of course. And I'm confused because I don't know if Annalise knew Frank was going to set Nate up or she was in... I don't know if she was in on it or we, the viewers, just didn't catch that because I didn't know that they were setting up Nate, okay, her mistress. Michaela almost committed suicide when she thought they found her ring, okay, and Sam's sister Hannah is definitely a problem. I'm ready for her to skip town. Real talk. So that's it for Reality Rewind. I've been so overwhelmed and busy that I haven't really been able to, like, get into the reality show how I want. I actually just skimmed through them so I can give you guys a little highlight. But I really need to sit down and relax. I need a vacation, y'all, okay? I really do. I need a vacation. That's serious. It's important that you take time out for yourself, people. Remember to take time out for yourself, okay? Now I got to get into the inspirational word segment. We're on day 5 in I Declare by Joel Osteen. Day 5 states as follows. I declare I am grateful for who God is in my life and for what he's done. I will not take for granted the people, the opportunities, and the favor he has blessed me with. I will look at what is right and not what is wrong. I will thank him for what I have and not complain about what I don't have. I will see each day as a gift from God. My heart will overflow with praise and gratitude for all of his goodness. This is my declaration. You need to live every day like it could be your last. Seriously. I just lost a friend. Her name is Kayla Donnelly Smith. She was only 22. She died a week, exactly a week after her 22nd birthday. She was close to my heart, and it hurt me bad. She was suddenly killed on the highway in New York by exit 22 on I-95. She was spunky. She was filled with fire, and I loved it so much. She became one of my best friends very quickly, and it hurt. So when you hear live each day like it's your last, that's some real stuff. Really live each day like it's your last. You never know. Day 6 is I declare a legacy of faith over my life. I declare that I will store up blessings for future generations. My life is marked by excellence and integrity because I'm making right choices and taking steps of faith. Others will want to follow me. God's abundance is surrounding my life today. This is my declaration. You can store up blessings and favor by living a life of excellence and integrity that will affect generations to come. I know I am blessed today because I have parents who honor God. I also have grandparents who prayed for me and modeled a life of excellence. You are where you are because somebody sacrificed, somebody prayed, somebody served, honey. And now God is honoring them by releasing his goodness in your life. None of us got to where we are on our own. In 2 Timothy 1:5, the Apostle Paul said, Timothy, the faith I see in you first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice, and now I can see it in you. Okay? Your challenge is to live in such a way as to cause others to win. Every time you are kind and respectful, every time you help someone in need, every time you come to church, serve, and give, you are storing up mercy. It may be for your children, for your grandchildren, or even 100 years from now for somebody in your family line who will experience God's goodness because of the life you've lived. I'm telling you right now, make a legacy for you, your family, your good, everybody. You got to leave a legacy behind. That's the end of today's show. I want to again say rest in peace to one of my closest friends, Kayla Donnelly Smith. Kayla, I love you. You were so filled with funk, fire. I've been sad. My heart has been torn since she's been taken away from me. I pray for your mother, Penny Smith. I pray for your stepmother, Kim Lab. I pray for your stepsisters and your blood sister. I pray for your entire family and all your friends that you were close to and that knew you longer than I knew you. You know, you were such an impact in people's lives. You have no idea the difference that you made by just being here on this earth. If you love somebody, hug them. Tell them you love them. Tell them how much they mean to you. Listen, everybody, I love you guys very much. Thank you so much for listening to The Juice. Next week, I'm hoping it'll be better. I'm sorry. Pray for me, huh? You hear? Pray for me, please. I love you all so very much. I thank you all for your support. Call me sometime. The number here is 323-792-2900. God is good all the time. Never, ever forget to glorify his name in everything that you do today and every day forward. You guys have a great weekend. God bless you. Same time, same place next week.